Welcome back to another episode of the Reseller's Mindset Podcast. My name is Mike, also known as a used book guy on YouTube, along with my friend and fellow full-time reseller, Johnny B. We help people start and grow their reselling businesses from the ground up. We also have a weekly Zoom call and private Discord for all YouTube members. Head on over to youtube.com/usedbookguy to join the channel and gain access to the full-length podcast, Zoom call, and private Discord today. Let's get into this week's episode.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to another exciting episode of Reseller Mindset. I'm doing the introduction today because Mike's like, this would be funny. Look at him cackle over there if you're watching on the YouTube stream. Today we're going to be talking about knowing your competition or knowing your enemy. And this is more from a local standpoint. Like if you go sourcing to one of your regular places and you notice it's not as good as it used to, you start asking some questions, maybe to the checkout person or maybe the manager, if you built up some kind of rapport there. And like, yeah, there's a new scanner boy or girl in town. You're not the only one anymore. So now you got competition in a place that used to be a honey hole, right? And it's like, what do you do? For me, I would ask some leading questions like, oh, when do they normally drop by? And then I may probably drop by around that time repeatedly until I figure out who they are. And then maybe I just subtly start a conversation with them, again, asking some probing questions. So I will make my plan of attack from there. And that'll usually mean I come in before them and I make sure I get it. Or maybe I have a talk with the manager, like, it's time to get that backroom access going because this guy needs to die. What are your thoughts, Mike?
I didn't think that I would be this excited about a topic. Like when you first said, I was like, all right, I get it, right? Like, but I actually am, because I have real life examples of just what Johnny said. So I won't go into too much details, but I found some sources this year and there's other scanners there, right? Like what Johnny's saying. And it kind of just happened, as cheesy as this sounds, it kind of just happened like Johnny just said, like, oh, there's somebody else here. Like you're paying attention, right? So, and in one of the situations, I heard the other person was there while I was there, right? So like we're both scanning, and I heard them over. Oh, I heard I'm eavesdropping, dude, right? I got my big ears out like Dumbo, and the person said like how often they come, right? Mm-hmm. Like I come on the 17th every single month, right? I'm just saying that just for context, right? So if me, for example, if it's me and Johnny, and Johnny's talking to the people, like, I come on the 17th every single month. Well, guess who's going to be there on the 16th, right? Yep. Like, it's a dog-eat-dog world, and I don't feel bad about it, honestly. And that's just one of the kind of ways where you have to understand what your competition is in your market. We sell media, and we always sit here and say, it's everywhere, right? It is. Every store you go in, there's tons of different places you can get media from. But having that little leg up, it's worth its weight in gold. And this is why we talk about having relationships and kind of doing things like that. But you're right, dude. I do that to people. And that's not the only real life example I'm going to cover in this one. But that's one where I just literally overheard the other person give away when they come every single month. And I said, I had a shit grin on my face.
Oh, yeah. I mean, you just ask the leading question. Oh, you're a reseller? I'm a reseller, too. Let's be friends, right? And I will betray you at the first moment I can. So, yes. And, like, when you go to, like, a library sale, it's all the competition in the world, right? Everybody there is your competition. So it's a little bit different than when you're going to a thrift store, I would say. You could approach this person or figure out information from, like I said, the clerk, cashier, person, or manager. If you approach them, don't be overt about it. Just strike up a friendly conversation like you normally would. They'll give you all the information they'll need normally, if they'll bother to talk to you, because they may not. They're like, no, go away. And if that's the case, you're going to destroy them. You just have to figure out when they're coming and how you get ahead of them, what their route is. So maybe they got a whole route that's the same route as yours, plus or minus a few places. So once you figure all that out, you'll eventually put them out of business. Now, if they counterattack and do the same thing to you, well, that's a very interesting game. And then I think it's time to up your game about getting backroom access, and before they don't even get a chance to touch it, their schedule doesn't matter at that point. Now on the reverse end, you can make, instead of viewing them as your enemy, you can make them your ally. Like, look, it's you and me in this area. We got to work something out here because we're just stepping on each other's toes. Or maybe like, what do you like to sell? And they're like, I'm books only. I'm like, oh, okay. Then when I come here, maybe I'll do disc only instead. And you kind of divide the store up that way, so you're not getting in each other's way or wasting each other's time. It's a gentleman's agreement, or a lady's agreement, whether the case may be. But they can go that way. And maybe you can ask them, hey, when you go to the some other places, if you see any new sealed DVDs or CDs, you can throw them my way. And if I see any, I don't know, box sets, I'll throw them your way. And now you've made a connection where you're exchanging inventory versus competing over the same inventory. And that could be to your benefit as well, and it can lead to something else. Or maybe you can look at them like, okay, they're going to fail, but they might be a good employee. So you could view it from that angle as well. Like, I'm going to put them out of business, but I'm going to hire them in order to do so. Maybe you need somebody to do photography or shipping or whatever. Because they may be doing this part-time, they're moonlighting, it's a couple spare bucks. They have no master plans of becoming a big empire. And you can use that to your advantage. Like, if you can offer them an hourly wage that's better than them going to the thrift store, they might take it actually, because they don't like necessarily coming to the thrift store. They're just trying to get a few extra bucks. And if you're offering that with less work involved or less thinking, they actually may do it. I've seen that happen before.
Dude, I got lots of examples for this, and they're all kind of recent to like this year. I don't know what's going on, but another one I'm going to give everybody, right? Been going to library sales this year for the first time in my 50-year Amazon selling career, and what I noticed was some library sales have a preview night, right? So you got to show up and you got to pay. It's usually between 10 up to $25, right? So you got to pay to get in the door, right? Imagine you go to Studio 66, you got to pay to get in, right? To be with all the celebrities. I noticed there's this one group, large family. They're at everyone that's free. But if there's an entry fee to get in, they do not go to those, right? So little things like this are going to give you a leg up. And I know it doesn't seem like much, but these people are always, I don't know, I should go like one time just to see, like, I don't know how early they get there or they just camp out overnight. These are not big sales, by no means necessary. I'm talking like 5,000 books. And these people are in first in line every single time. And there's usually at least five of them up to like eight, right? So one person just sits in line right before it opens, they all kind of go up, but they only go to the free ones. So, all right, well, you know, if it's free, you guaranteed I'm going to see these people. I've been all over the state this year going to library sales. Every single one that's been free, they've been there. Every single one you've had to pay.
What's up, Amazon sellers? We wanted to take a second to talk about GoToLister, the software me and Johnny both use to list and manage our inventory and grow our businesses. With the fastest listing speeds out there and built-in profit analytics, it's a no-brainer. Easily and quickly have items available for sale using 2D barcodes and get more for your items with its built-in smart pricing. Make sure to check out the 30-day free trial at GoToLister.com/Mike or using the link in the description below.
Not there, right? So, all right, all of a sudden you got that first huge group out of the way. Now you can still find stuff, right? Even if they're there, you're still going to be able to find items, but that's yet another thing, right? Little things you start catching on to, right? Along the way, you start making little mental notes, right? I've been going to these library sales for the first time. It's a brand new experience for me. So I'm like, all right, well, why are they going to this one that's right here, but they're not going to this one that's right in the next town, right? It would only make sense that you would go to both. And then you're like, wait a minute, well, you got to pay $25 a person. They got 10 people, right? That's an extra 250 bucks. But yeah, me and Johnny will sit here and say, you're definitely going to make that money back anyway. So, like, clearly they're not making no type of money in this business if they can't afford to spend 10 bucks a head just to get into some of these sales. So that's another thing I really noticed. Like, knowing your enemy, it's more than just like almost thrifting. It's like habits, right? People are a creature of habit, right? If I go run the same routes every single day, every single week of the month, I'm doing the same things, northeast, southwest, right? And Johnny moves to the area and he figures out, well, Mike goes to, Reading every second week of the month, and he goes to wherever, Allentown, every third week of the month. Well, guess what Johnny's gonna do? He's gonna undercut the crap out of me, and then all of a sudden, like he said, you go to these places and you're not finding as much, right? Like, and sure, sources change all the time. We talk about sources change. So just because you're not finding as much might not directly mean that, you know, Johnny's moved into your neighborhood or I moved into your neighborhood. But there are things you have to pay attention to. And this stuff really is like, it can make a big difference. And now I know whenever it's a free library sale, the math don't even math, right? I'm gonna go off the wheels real quick. Last one I went to was like 4,000 books, right? Not maybe not even. That's not including nonfiction and fiction, right? So that's probably like a 50-50 split. So it's like 2,000 books. You're looking at maybe a 10% accept rate, right? Like, so out of your 2,000 books, that puts you at 200 books that are profitable in the wholesale. Well, you're not the only people there. You're not scanning the wholesale. So if you're bringing 10 people, we ain't making no damn money. The math don't math. But yet again, here we are. And knowing your enemy sometimes means you gotta, sometimes math is people's enemy. And I'm A-okay with that. But that's just another reason. I want you to get to one that you specifically have. And I think that's on eBay and knowing your competition for the category you sell in, because you're kind of niche down and like the super trade paperback sci-fi type guy. And I'm curious, like, when you first decided to go down this venture, like, did you do like research to figure out, like, all right, how are people listing their stuff and how can I do something differently?
Exactly. So when I decided on, I like selling these. These sell at a decent clip, and they're fun to list. I enjoy. Not everything I list is fun, but these are fun. So I started looking it up. Well, there may be on some of them there may be up to 10 to 12 listings. On some of them there may be two. And then looking at the listings as a whole, whether it's 10 or two, and repeating that up to 100, 200 sampling size. The lack of effort is not there. Generally, these are one of two people. Either it's the comic book store, and they sell these books in addition to comics, just like they sell graphic novels. So I'm competing with those guys, or it's somebody's private collection. They've been collecting for years. They got 10,000 of them. They say, well, it's been nice, but I'm old, so security isn't great. I need to sell these off. The comic guys, they don't like putting in, most of them do not like putting up banger listings. And the comic guys, they don't want to be listing to begin with. A, they're emotionally attached. B, it's hard for them. They're not trying to be a reseller. They're just trying to get a couple few bucks there. So what I chose is, like, if I make a quality listing with these, I win. Now there is thrift books and secondhand books and disc spin and all those people. They're just playing the margin game, and I see them as well, but they're not my competition. They're playing a gigantic game of lowest price wins. So I don't even view them, and they're using stock photos, so screw those guys. So that was my angle on it. And then I was like, okay, if I'm going to do a quality listing, I would need to charge up for this because my listings look like no one else in this little sector. So I did. And then that's changed over the years. I started at a certain price, and now it's at a different price. It's actually higher now because I know what I can get away with because I've been doing it so long. Because when I first started, it was $12.99 free ship as my entry. Now it's like $20 plus like almost $7 shipping because I know, and that's my minimum injection. That doesn't mean I don't sell stuff for more if it's worth more, but that's what I need to do. So I'm usually the highest price listing, but you know what? Given enough time, my stuff does sell because it's supply and demand. There's a lot more demand than there is supply, but it's a huge catalog of these paperbacks, right? We're talking from around the 1920s up till today. So over 100 years of material. And some of these guys would pump them out like once a week, or in some cases, more sometimes. Doesn't mean they're fantastic works of literature. A lot of it is, but a lot of it's hot garbage too. Like, they had a quota to meet. They're just cranking these suckers out. And they put most of their money in cover art. And that's what separates these things a lot of the times is the cover art. So they'll spend all of their effort there, and little care goes into the writing because it's just trash or it's mediocre. It's not great, but it's a cool cover. And some people just collect them for the cover. So they're very comic book-esque. So I would say my main competition is the comic book stores, but they mainly focus more on comics and these paperbacks are even below graphic novels for them. They also like to focus in the toys and the statues and the pop figurines, that goes around the comics. Those are bigger ticket items for them, so it makes sense for them to focus on that. Do these guys have everything, including what I sell? Yes, but I'm only selling this.
I think the biggest advantage we have as resellers and knowing your enemy is that the overwhelming majority of resellers are going to be lazy and take shortcuts and not do things the right way. That's just the reality of it. I'm sorry if this offends anybody. I don't care. The years and years and years and years I've been doing this, the biggest thing is people don't do the job thoroughly and fully, start to finish in reselling, because anybody can start this business. You can drag it along and be non-profitable for the rest of your life if you wanted to. So the biggest thing that I look at when I'm out and I'm sourcing is, I know even if Johnny, well, not Johnny, because he would scan everything, but even if there was another scanner and they scan before me, and I tell everybody in the group to do this all the time, and I do this at library sales. I got this other person at my library sales. I don't know what his triggers are, right? We're working off software on our phone. You can have it set up to whatever parameters. Maybe Johnny's buying $20 only profit books, but I'm willing to take 10, right? So it's different for every single person. So I scan behind this specific person and I get looks, right? Because I'm like scanning after them and they see me putting stuff in my bag, right? They're like, the hell's going on? I just scan that. They're not making no money, right? And I'm sitting here like, I'm thinking the same thing about this guy. I'm like, the hell is this guy doing? He's leaving behind all this money. And one of the things I noticed is that if the book doesn't have a scannable barcode, for those on YouTube, I don't have one specifically, but there's no barcode on the back of the book, right? But there's like a little ISBN number. This dude does not scan ISBN numbers, right? And a lot of these books are usually from like smaller press companies, right? Like the university presses or something like that. The accept rate on the ISBN scans is always 10 times higher than the barcode scans. But for some reason, we can't spend the 2 seconds to hit the little camera button on our phone and scan it. So whenever I scan behind this guy, and he's almost at every sale, right? I know I see the ISBN book. I'm like, here we go, baby. You got to know what's going on, being aware of around you. And maybe the first time you start doing something new, maybe the first time you go to the bins, right? Or you're trying a new source, you're going to library sales for the first time. Maybe the first time isn't so much about making and scanning as much. It's kind of seeing what other people are doing, right? Seeing what the flow of the place is. Where is everybody going to, right? In my experience, most people run to like the history and like the war sections. Me personally, I'm going self-help and religion. That's where the sell-through is for me. Not so much the crazy, super high profitable, slow moving military book you might come across. I really don't care about that. And I know if I just walk over here, boom, I'm knocking it out. And it's the same way when selling disc media. I go to a library sale. I'm not even going to the books first. I'm going to the disc media every single time. And most booksellers are just stuck in their ways and they just sell only books. And I'm just like, well, if this is what it's going to be, then I got to do something a little bit different to make some more money. And yeah, dude, it amazes me how resellers just assume that every other reseller is the greatest reseller, right? Like if somebody's in there before me, oh, there's nothing left for me, dude. They're already in there. I'm the opposite. I'm laughing. I'm like, let's go see what Doink the Clown left us in the store because I know there's some good money sitting in there.
So when I go to a sale like that, the first thing I do is I don't shop for Amazon. I shop for eBay. So I make a complete pass of what I could just instantly pull, no questions asked. I will scan this stuff later or look it up later to see if it can go to Amazon, and that's where I will send it. But I spend zero thinking time and I just use my book knowledge, make my initial pass, hub spine, yoink, trade little paperback sci-fi that I love to sell, yoink, Bible, yoink. These are things that I'm guaranteed that I'm going to list on eBay. Regardless, I'll do a condition check before I buy the stuff. That's a secondary thing. But I'll yoink everything out that I can just eyeball test, no questions asked. And there may be things that I have to toss them back. Like I open it up, it's all water damage, or somebody took a gigantic Crayola to the majority of the book. That's going back. Or I open it and it falls apart on me. That's going back. But I'll do that first. And then I'll do my Amazon scanning. Because I'll get a lot of books that the Amazon scanners won't even look at that way. Or if there's an, in my area, there's more eBay people than Amazon, to be honest. Me doing that, I'll get a lot more than they can even touch. Because they really don't have interest in Amazon for the most part, because they're eBay people. But they're an everything store eBay kind of type, the ones that attend these book sales. So they aren't really booksellers, they're everything sellers. They just saw this sale on Facebook. I'm like, oh, cheap books. I can sell cheap books, right? Well, go away, everything seller. Nobody likes you. And then as far as scanning goes, yeah, I hit the religion thing first because I'm Texas, right? Bible Belt. They
Oh,
usually got a
yeah.
big religious section. So I hit that first. And then it's either the self-help or the nonfiction. And then I'll hit the fiction because I already know fiction, and because of my eyeball walk around, I've already yoinked what I wanted to yoink anyway, and it's in my cart already. Now it's just a matter of scanning for the outliers, in my opinion, they're going to go into Amazon. So I don't even really start with fiction, but I do focus on fiction because I have that knowledge in the fiction world. And I start with that first, right? But I've already done the work, and everybody avoids the fiction like the plague, minus the actual end consumer who reads fiction and is there to shop for fiction. And yeah, they're the customer. Fine. So they're my only real competition on that front, but I don't really worry about them. Now, another thing for competition, if we're going around to places like we were mentioning at the beginning of the podcast, we can't find them, right? Well, here's a little thing to think about. Look at your social media in your area, and if you notice somebody who has dreams of being a young YouTuber, sorry, Mike, and they're posting stuff, look at their videos, and if you've been to enough stores, you can pretty much figure out what stores they're going to, and you can watch some of their videos at that point, and then figure out their schedule because they'll talk about it because they're a YouTuber, right? They want to talk about how they do things. I mean, no offense to Mike, but he talks probably more than he should about where he sources from. But yeah, it's out there. And even on Facebook or Instagram or even the almighty Twitter, right? The information's out there. Now, I have looked when on Amazon when people are on the listing, like, where are these people from? Where are they getting this? I thought this thing was rare. Like, what state are they in? Because it gives you that information. You can do something similar on eBay. And Tech and Sports, who does the Reseller Greatness podcast, he's got a great video on how to find stores and stuff in his group. I've watched that video several times because it's always like, if I need to know this, this will do me a solid at the stage where I have heavy competition in my area. Trying to think here. So when is a point that you should start worrying about competition, as far as the listings go on eBay and Amazon?
Like I think I was going to say this, but it kind of leads us right into this. I think another thing with knowing the enemy with reselling is that a lot of resellers want all the money all the time, and they're not thorough with going back and being the best price, right? So not only do they have one of the not best listing, they don't have the best price either. And to them, I see it all the time, and a lot of resellers complain when they go to garage sales. People say, oh, I know what I got and I want X amount of dollars. Well, when you all go list your stuff, you do the same exact damn thing. There's no sold comps and you think you can get 10X what it last sold for 90 days ago. This is the biggest advantage I have. It's the only reason my Amazon business exists. I don't even care. It's because I scan at the lowest price, I send it in at the lowest price, I sell it at the lowest price. Nothing else matters in Amazon land. I don't care who comments on this video and says, well, my books are better condition, or the buy box depended on location. That is like a 0.05% of how they decide to buy box on Amazon. The biggest one is price. So guess what I care about? The price. And that is why I sell thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of CDs, books, DVDs every single year. And that's why I'm still here. That's why the bank account goes up. It's not because I sit here and brag to Johnny that I have 50,000 Amazon listings. And it's cool that I have 50,000 Amazon listings. Johnny, check me out. I'm the coolest guy, the coolest cat on the block. And then Johnny's like, "Well, Mike, you're living under the underpass." And I'm like, "Dude, we don't care about that. You see my listing count here? You see my bars, right? Like, that's the biggest thing, dude. We have to price our items to sell no matter what platform, and we cannot do that because we're so damn greedy that even though we spent a dollar for the DVD, we need to get maximum money. Even if there's somebody else on the listing, and I look at it and like, well, mine's is a little bit better. This thing sells once every 90 days, and there's only one other person, right? Mine's is a little better quality, so I'm gonna charge like an extra $50, and then it just sits there, especially in eBay. Nobody goes back and looks at their old prices. Like, what is the percentage of eBay sellers? I would love to know this, that actually go back and either have the pricing buckets based on dates, like a lot of the professional eBay sellers do, like yourself, because I personally rarely did it when I was an everything seller on eBay. Whatever they set that initial price at, regardless, maybe somebody comes on the listing and they got 100 of these and the quantity is 100 and it's $20 cheaper than yours. Dude, this is going to sit in my house forever. I'm going to be staring at Alfred Hitchcock for the rest of my life. For those watching on YouTube, I got one of his DVD sets. And you think to yourself, well, the eBay sucks. No, you suck.
Well, since you brought up garage sales, here's another thing I like to think about. And maybe a lot of you haven't ever thought about this, but do you ever view garage sales and thrift stores and estate sales as your competition? Like, why didn't you get the phone call? Why didn't you get the email? Why is this stuff going there and not directly to me? I think about this a lot. Like, that's my stuff sitting on that shelf. It should already be at my driveway. Why isn't it? What can I do to make that happen? So I know it's an extreme, but I kind of view it that way. Like they are my competition. They're getting the stuff I'm not, and I'm having to pay them to get the stuff. So I like to view it like, okay, how can I get it direct? How can I get it from wherever it came from? Somebody's home, more than likely. I'm not gonna include libraries because that's its own little special entity or any kind of nonprofit. But it's just like, okay, how can I up my game where I can make the thrift store shelves barren from books?
That's it, dude. I mean, you got a good point. I'm going to tap on this real quick. You see that as competition. I see, and I think people now are kind of catching on to this more because these thrift store chains are selling online. The thrift stores are the competition. You go shopping at Goodwill, you're literally giving your competition money, right? And guess what they're doing? They're looking everything up nowadays. So the stuff that's getting to the sales floor, sure, some items slip through the crack, but we're talking a percent of a percent anymore, right? It used to be a lot easier to go into a Goodwill, fill up the cart. That does not exist, at least around me, in any way, shape, or form. You're not going to any Goodwill and even get more than 10 items when it comes to media because everything's scanned at a centralized location. So, like you're saying, that's your competition, right? And when I drive by the Goodwill and somebody's donating a car full of books, I have the same thing Johnny thinks, like, shit, that should have been mine, right? And I actually would have gave
Yeah.
that person some money for their stuff, and maybe they would have appreciated it. Maybe that would have turned into some word of mouth. Then I get another connection and another connection.
Absolutely. They are our competition, boys and girls. They're selling online. We're competing with them. They're our direct competitor. And yet we're putting money in their pocket. Until you establish different sources, why are you funding your competition? Or until you figure out how to take away the stuff you're selling from your competition, why are you supporting your competition? These are key critical things you need to think over the lifespan and the course of your career as a reseller. It doesn't really matter what you sell. And then take it a step further. People like to go from eBay to Amazon, right? And there's plenty of people who buy stuff from eBay to go to Amazon, but you're funding the competition over on the eBay front, right? You really are. even on the dollar start auctions, or if you're doing whatnot, you're funding the competition there more or less. You could view it more of, in that scenario, they're a supplier, I guess, but where are they getting their stuff from? Why isn't it yours already? That's, I view it in the same kind of light, like as the thrift stores we were just mentioning, like how come they got it and I didn't? That's
Yeah,
how I'm looking at it.
that's all it boils down to. And I know everybody thinks that, right? Like everybody thinks that. I think to myself when I like roll out of a back room and like there's another reseller there and they give you that look like why is that person in the back room, right? Or like when people watch my YouTube videos and they, you know, they see me filling up the car with books from the library back room, which I'm going to do today after we record this. It's like, well, why? How let It's not fair, and it is fair. You're just too lazy to put in the tiny bit of effort, right? Like I've talked about the story a million times, like how I wound up with one of my library relationships was through a Craigslist post. Like, who uses damn Craigslist anymore, right? And I literally have a library for the rest of my life because of a stupid Craigslist post. Those are the types of things, and I look back, like that's when I first started, and I wanted it all, right? Like. That hunger's, I'll straight up admit, like I don't got that dog in me like I used to, right? Like I was like, I'm putting ads out everywhere. I want all the free microwave cookbooks. I don't care. I'll deal with them. I'll figure out a way to deal with them. That type of hunger and just thinking a little bit outside the box, right? So many of us just rely on those thrift stores to pay us. And so many of us fail because we only rely on the thrift stores. But Johnny said they're selling all this stuff online. This is your direct competition. You're not worried about selling media on Amazon and worrying about the used book guy. Just go look on some of these. The Goodwills are in competitions with themselves. I've seen some book listings. There's the lowest 20 offers are all different Goodwills. The Goodwills, they don't care. They want to undercut their other competitors, which is in the same damn company. Like it's crazy to me.
Right. I mean, I don't know if they're required to because of like collusion rules or what, but no, I see them undercutting themselves all the time. But the, and the, I guess they're regionalized or franchise and they're all quote unquote independent. Maybe they pay Big Papa headquarter Goodwill a yearly fee to do so, but they're all competing with each other and then we're competing with them. But they're getting the stuff because we go buy it from them, right? Why can't we get this stuff? It's not any harder. Yeah, they got the name brand recognition. Now we're gonna get called out for that in the comments, certainly. I get it, but there's no reason you can't start building your own brand in your own little area. You may not go national or international with it like they have, but you could be the regional, I don't know, Winsboro, Texas book guy. It's going to him every time. He pays cash money. And maybe he starts offering, I don't know, cryptocurrency as payment because that's the new fun thing to give instead of actual dollars. You can figure it out. It's hard. A lot of us are still working on it. It's like, how do we get more? How do we get more and more and more for cheaper, cheaper, cheaper? Or how do we get it all just coming to us? And now we're just a factory machine, like Mike's background back there. That's a factory machine warehouse kind of
Yeah.
operation.
Yeah, it's kind of eye-opening when you really think about it. And I'll be straight up, I tried to find like an eBay seller or like even a bookstore to come get stuff that I don't have that's good for Amazon, right? Like I can't find nobody, Johnny. I've tried the zip code search on eBay. I've sent messages. I've reached out to smaller bookstores. Nobody wants to come literally get stuff for free. And I think it's a huge missed opportunity because they don't even know what I got, right? So why not just take the risk once and see what the quality is, right? You don't, this could be good stuff. And it's hard, man. Knowing your competition is, it's so crucial to this game anymore. It's not like it used to be. It's not nowhere near as easy as it used to be. And we just try to take the easy way out. And there's no easy way out. Like the great song from the Rocky soundtrack, there's no easy way out. Listen to it. It's the facts of life. And it's cheesy to say, like, oh, well, that's not fair because Johnny just went to his library 3 weeks ago and he got all the books. Like, how is that fair for somebody like me? Well, guess what? I hate to be the bearer of bad news. That's like one library out of probably 50,000 in the state of Texas.
So many
Like,
libraries. This is dumb. This is really
you
dumb. Like every
just
small town has a little small library.
create an excuse for yourself, and it's just like a whiny crybaby excuse. So that's going to do it for knowing your competition. You've heard it here, right? Like, the opportunity is there. There's always another source, and let be pissed off like Johnny is, or when I drive by and I see someone donate stuff, being like, damn, why can't I let me be the next person that gets this stuff next in line? And all you have to do is not just go into a thrift store and hope you fill up your cart. Get active on social media, put out some free pickup ads. The world is yours for the taking. We'll talk to you all in next week's episode.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Resellers Mindset Podcast. Today's full episode and all previous episodes are available to all YouTube members, along with the weekly Zoom call and private Discord. Head on over to youtube.com/theusedbookguy and consider joining for as little as $2.99 a month.